Hey, Real Ghost Stories Online family. It's Sunday, and we're going to start doing something interesting over here at Real Ghost Stories Online, calling it True Crime Sunday, where we'll play one of three brand new episodes of our other podcast, Dark Side Of. It's a true crime podcast. So if you love those dark stories and following true crime, you need to subscribe to Dark Side Of. Myself, Carol Hughes, and Stacey Cole, all hosted every single week with new episodes every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. Search Dark Side Of wherever you download podcasts. But right now, enjoy one of three brand new episodes of Dark Side Of from this week. Today on the Dark Side Of, a Florida man arrested after guns, drugs, and a live alligator found during a traffic stop. Just another day in Florida. California couple accused of abusing and killing a one-year-old son and leaving the body in the car. Woman allegedly stabbed husband to death after arguing about how coffee tasted, says Memphis police. And the latest on the Josh Duggar sentencing. That and more today on the Dark Side Of.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is the Dark Side Of.
That indeed it is. Welcome to the program. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any episodes of The Dark Side Of or True Crime Today, which goes out throughout the week where we kind of highlight random true crime stories. It's Tony and Stacey Cole with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Hey, what's up?
Oh, a lot that I can't talk about on the air.
Always something going on, but you know, it's just another day during, well, actually, we're not in the pandemic phase anymore.
No,
officially,
we're not.
Are we?
No, we're not. It's nice. You can breathe and go about life. And I'm enjoying
How long do you think that's going to last?
I'm not going back to the masks. I'm fucking done. I give up.
You're done?
I'm done.
That's it?
Fucking done.
See, I'm not, I'm one of those people. I want the mask on. And
still,
and here's why. I have gotten, this is the most petty thing you'll ever hear in your fucking life.
You don't want people to recognize you?
Well, there's that, but I've stopped wearing lipstick.
So it's not so much for the breathing or the keeping the COVID away. It's because you get to not wear lipstick.
Exactly. I have my Burt's Bees. That's it.
Well,
and I'm saving so much money. I used to be just the biggest lipstick person you'd ever see.
Yeah.
And I'm saving so much money now and my lips seem healthier, like softer.
Yeah.
It's the most ridiculous thing. I feel like the lipstick was causing like dryness and peeling and now I don't have to worry about it.
Well, that works. I get that. That makes sense. I think there's a lot. I mean, there's an element too, if you're kind of antisocial, of wearing the mask, because then people won't, they don't tend to talk to you or gravitate to you, which, you know, at first I kind of liked, but now I'm like, I do kind of, I found myself interacting with people, which I didn't do pre-pandemic. I've like gotten more social and friendly to people without the mask. So I know it's weird, but it's like, okay, a lot of people are quite pleasant. I'm showing or proving to myself, but, I can't fucking do it anymore. I'm done. I mean, everything showed like, well, this doesn't really work all that well. And that all the fucking shit that I was like behind and I thought, well, this, I'm going to go with this because this seems like what we should be doing because they say it works. Like, that's fucking bullshit.
I think it works. And the only reason I say that is because I haven't had strep throat now in 2.5 years. And I was somebody that would get it every single year.
Yeah. Is there a percentage that works? Yes. Is it worth the trauma and all of that? No. At this point, no.
And for me, though, I'm personally going to keep doing it because I live in a part of the country where right now the pollen is really bad.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Yes. For me, it's been really useful.
Sure.
I'm not going to glare at people like I used to for not wearing them. For me, though, I need to. I think I should, mm-hmm. at least during the spring and then during hay fever season, I'm going to make sure I'm wearing it. And I may let loose a little bit during the summer mm-hmm. outside. No big deal. Well, and I don't wear it outside, but I mean, like, I'll do more things outside. But when the pollen levels are high, fuck that. Yeah. That's the best thing I've ever done.
You know, I agree. Those are things that I have enjoyed with the masking over the last 2 years. Was I was better with those sort of allergies. I'm like, oh, there's a benefit there. But again, I just go back to, I'm done. I'm just fucking done. I feel like there's so many things I would have done differently in hindsight, just knowing what we know now. And there was just a lot of bullshit that was told to us that turned out to not be very accurate. And I don't know why it was stated as fact. But those of us who were just trying to play along and do the right thing, you know, it's like, fuck you. Like, you lost my trust now too. And good luck. And that's the thing. Like, is there another wave? Which there probably will be. Good luck getting anybody to fucking believe anything. You know, it's so fucking, remember like whenever it was like fucking, like cleaning everything, like ridiculously,
like your groceries.
Yes.
You were cleaning off your potato chip bag.
Stores were closing early so they could sanitize the building and this and that. And then like, a couple of months later, they're like, oh, it shows it doesn't spread on surfaces. Huh. Oh, really? We just figured this out. We didn't know that for like the last year. We're just realizing like this couldn't have been tested in some way, shape or form. Or maybe we did test it, but we already said to everybody, we got to do all this. And then we'd look pretty fucking dumb if we came back saying, so we're just going to slip this out there that it doesn't spread on surfaces. It's just everything. I'm just fucking done. I'm done with it all.
It's quite the learning curve for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. This is fucking insane. And
everybody's going to get to see your face.
Yeah. I mean, everybody,
whether they want to or not,
I hold no judgment on anybody anymore with any of this. It's like, you want to wear a mask? Cool. If you don't, cool. But right now, I think what we're seeing in a lot of places with the people who are still wearing masks, not everyone, I know you are not this type of person, but there's still some pretty extreme maskers out there that are doing some pretty extreme mask shaming, which just looks insane at this point because your levels on this are super low everywhere. There really isn't a reason to mask shame anyone, right? I mean, if it were like fucking rampant everywhere, cool. I mean, if it got to that point, I probably wouldn't mask up at that point. But you just keep an eye on the levels and they're fucking low. There's nothing going on hardly anywhere. What is this about? I still see some people, they're borderline hazmat suiting it up, going to the grocery store.
I think that plays into, I think these are the people who are really, it's really preyed upon their mental illness.
Yes, exactly. And I feel bad for them. I'm not like, oh, they're great. Like, there is probably an illness here prior, and this was very, very traumatic. And I get it. This is what they're going to do to feel safe. Like, so do your thing. But damn.
It's been a tough time. And I was initially one of those masking shamers when this first started.
Yeah.
Because I live in a part of the country where like it was almost a badge of honor to not wear a mask. So I was
at the beginning,
I wore
it was all
it right away.
Yeah, I get it. At the beginning, it was all political and I felt the same way too. But
exactly. Most people, well, I don't, I, maybe that's a bad statement. Some people are vaccinated.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just going to be something we're going to live with have to deal with. So we need to go and live our lives. And I'll tell you straight off, I'm having a tough time going outside.
Yeah.
I'm struggling with it, but I know I need to work on it. And I am.
Yeah.
And I now work from home, so I'm home more than ever. So going to the grocery store is like,
it was weird. Okay, it was weird getting back out there, but I slowly started doing it and now I feel good about it. And then we had all the mask thing again at the beginning of the year. And then it was like, oh, this is getting shitty again. But now I'm like, I'm back. I'm done with the trauma. How much of this, what is at the end of the day, when we look back at this, the toll of the amount of people who died versus directly from COVID. And we can attest that it in fact was COVID that killed the person versus.
And that's the tough part. We don't know
exactly
for sure.
And that's all fucked up too, where it's like, you're making everybody who was like supportive of this and like, no, we're going to trust the science and this and that, now say, fuck you. You've all been lying to us. the idea of how many people killed themselves or got, you know, very gravely, you know, mentally ill and hurt other people, and the toll on the kids of what they've gone through trauma-wise. What is that number going to look like in the history books? I mean, because this is fucking the trauma that we've gone through is insane. And what we just kind of like kids that there's so many kids that like when they went out of school, when the schools all closed, they never went. They didn't go back for like a long time and they didn't get education at home. So you have all these kids now. Many high schools are struggling with this where it was like, OK, they left in seventh grade and now they're supposed to be in ninth grade. But all they have is like a seventh grade level education.
And yeah, we're going to see some problems with that.
We're seeing it right now. And little kids, too, especially where, you know, you're maturing. When you're in elementary, you mature so much from grade to grade. Remember being like in fourth grade, you look at the third graders, you're like, oh, they look so young. And it was just a year difference. But there's so much difference at that age that you have all these kids now and these parents who weren't responsible, that didn't, you know, provide education for their children. They just held them out. And now they're all behind. There is going to be such a crazy toll to this that
There is.
We're going to see it for the rest of our lives. And the true, you know, looking back, we're going to be dead by the time they look back at exactly what this did.
Oh, it's going to be just they're going to look back and go, oh, whoops.
Yeah. Oops.
Whoops. Sorry about that.
And it's like, well, what do you do? But I think this could have been done a lot better, in my opinion. You know, the idea is that I think we had in our mind of if this ever happens in all the disaster movies and shit that we've seen, it's like, mm-hmm. Oh, they have a plan in place. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. And it's just going to, we're going to be, it's like, nope. They had no fucking clue. No fucking clue what they're doing. Well, no
if
plan.
If this makes you feel any better for the next pandemic, we'll know differently. You know, so in 2 years when another one pops up, at least we know how to do it.
Yeah, I guess.
Sorry.
I don't know. I hope to God this doesn't become like a norm. Like, it's a pen because they found ways of making money on it. Now it's like, let's. And the fucking vaccines. Like, I am vaccinated. My daughter's vaccinated. But now they're like, well, there's a third one you can give the kids. Like, I don't know if I'm going to fucking do it. And there's another one I could get for myself. I'm like, I don't know. Why?
Yeah, now that you say that, I am scheduled tomorrow for my
fourth.
My fourth. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm somebody who gets sick a lot and yeah. I've never been told I have a poor immune system, but in my mind I do because you just look at me funny and I'll get something. So to me, I want that next vaccine. You don't want it, that's totally your choice.
And I'm cool with that. I'm not judging. I'm not one who's going to be like, oh, you shouldn't, but it's just like, I don't know. I look at some of the, it's like, what are we doing? Like, it can't be good to be putting all these things in our bodies this frequently. And yeah, how many things have we had out there where like many years later, they look back going, well, this was the side effect of that. And you don't know it forever. And it's not like, I don't have any conspiracy theory where they're like trying to kill us or anything like that. I'm just saying,
again, we don't know.
But exactly. We don't know. But it's like
when
I'm going to take my chances for a while. I mean, if there's another big spike, I'll probably get it again. But until then, I'm going to live life on the wild side, not wearing a mask when I go to the grocery store.
You are just like such a rebel.
I know. Craziness.
My God.
Pretty soon
you're going to have an alligator in the back of your truck.
I know. Just like this guy in Florida, along with guns, drugs, all sorts of fun stuff. When I was in Florida two times ago, driving back, there is somebody passing on the side of the road. And up north, what you typically see is, you know, there's like a deer in the back of somebody's truck that they
caught.
There was a fucking alligator in somebody's. And it was like going down the highway next to me. I look over, I'm like, oh my God, that's an alligator.
And was it dead?
Yeah. They hunted it. It was a full alligator, big.
Can you do that down there? You can hunt alligator? That's a thing?
I think there's a season for it.
Oh my God.
Which is probably a good thing because I think it's one of those, it does get out of control. You know, I love animals, but you know, if we didn't have hunting,
but those things are like roaming neighborhoods and eating dogs and things.
They are. My friend Andrea lives down there and she has one in her backyard all the fucking time. and they have issues with it.
See, I'm more afraid of alligators than I am of COVID. I mean, if there was the possibility that in my little backyard in Wisconsin, there would be an alligator, you'd never see me leave the house.
Yeah. And the thing is, down where I'm at, they're moving north and they're not here yet, but they have been spotted in southern Arkansas.
Are you serious? Yes. They're moving that far north?
Yes. I'm in northern Arkansas. And as the climate continues to change, it's a matter of time. In our lifetime, there will probably be alligators out back.
I am not okay with that.
No, I mean, they're never going to make it up to Wisconsin unless they genetically...
We don't know that.
Well, we'd be dead by that time. But if they'll genetically, continue to adapt for climate, that could probably happen in time. But but our climate is changing, so they're moving up here because it more so fits them. They're not necessarily changing their adaptation for climate. It's the climate that's adjusting. They keep moving. So.
No.
Waiting for that. I'm just waiting. Well, this guy in a Florida traffic stop in Collier County took a very Florida man turn. According to the sheriff's office, on Friday, deputies recognized the driver of a truck from previous encounters and knew his driver's license was suspended. When they pulled over, they reportedly found two guns inside the truck. One of the guns was in a glove box, the other tucked under the front passenger seat, according to the sheriff's office. The front seat passenger, 31-year-old Michael Morella, reportedly had syringes filled with methamphetamine in his jacket pocket.
Of course he did.
Of course. He was arrested and charged with drug possession and carrying a concealed firearm. But that's not the end of it. When deputies checked out the bed of the truck, they found a live baby alligator inside in an open plastic tub. Deputies notified the Fish and Wildlife Commission about the gator. So
why? That's the thing I'm really struggling with. Like, did he just see it on the side of the road and go, oh, that'd be cool? Was he going to do something with it?
I got to look up alligator hunting.
Yeah, maybe he was going to eat it.
Because I believe, okay, yes, you can get look at this. It's a combo pack. You can get a $7.95 alligator and hog combo, or you can get a hog and an alligator. But there are gator hunts down there.
I hear banjo music as you say that.
Outside of that, though, I don't believe it's legal to touch them or move them or pick them up or do what he was doing and trying to take one as a pet. You can hunt them in the right situation with the right license at the right time in the right place, but you can't, because that's one of the things that my friend was telling me about was she has some baby ones back there and they get like stuck sometimes up in the yard and she's gone out there with like giant boxes because to like kind of push them away like refrigerator boxes.
Sure.
And has managed to move. You're not supposed to legally, but she's like, I'm not just going to leave the thing in my backyard. So she's done that. But yeah, it can get kind of crazy. It's like the one at Disney. Remember that story where the kid got eaten? That was horrible. And now everywhere you go, you walk around. I stay at that resort. Usually when I go, it was at the Grand Floridian, which is like their nicest resort. It's all really pretty and beautiful.
That's their premier resort.
Yes. And now along the beach, there's just signs like every 3 feet, like beware of alligators, which is
no.
Yeah. I had to explain that to Harper when she was like 3. She's like, look, an alligator sign. I'm like, yeah,
we need to move along. That's not something you can go pet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and I don't understand people having them as pets because there's never a time when they're looking at you thinking, oh, I love you. No, they want to eat you. You are dinner to them.
Yeah.
100% of the time.
It's not like a abused dog or something that's going to eventually find love. This is a reptilian creature.
They're looking at you like you are Old Country Buffet.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah.
I miss Old Country Buffets. Remember those? Old Country. Are they still around? Is there Old Country Buffet still?
Yeah, they're still around. I haven't been to them since the pandemic started, but they are still there.
Wow.
I know. Are you just frothing at the mouth?
No, because usually the food was horrible. But I remember when I was a kid, it was the amazement. That and Ponderosa was like the other one where you go in, it's like, oh my gosh, look at all this food. But as
the steaks weren't really that good at Ponderosa, but it was the whole experience. And I loved like, yeah, I'll take some mushrooms. Give me those mushrooms on top of my icky steak, you know?
I like the salad bar because you could just make tons of salads. And that I always enjoyed. And then there'd be like little kid stuff, you know, like, oh, look, there's mozzarella sticks over here and this or that. But yeah, we go to a Chinese buffet every now and then. And it's
those are fun.
Yeah. I mean, this one's okay, but yeah, I don't know. The excitement's, I think that's, it's one of those magical things of childhood that I don't find magic in anymore. But Harper does. So she's like, wow.
Well, then it's worth it. And it's exactly. worth it to watch her get excited about it.
Exactly. Remember the first time I took her to one, she's just like, oh my God, you can have anything. Yes. Anything you want, honey.
You can. You can have all of it.
She was just thrilled.
But it's like Christmas.
But she was responsible and didn't overstuff herself, unlike her daddy when I was her age. Because
yeah.
I remember going to, it was Father's Day, and there was, it was a local restaurant that did a big buffet for Father's Day alone. It was just, it was like a supper club, and it was their special, they do it once a year thing. And so it was really good food. It wasn't your typical, you know, Chinese buffet. And so it was like, oh, this is amazing. And I stuffed myself. Like, I was kind of in this weird phase where I think I had recently seen something on like National Geographic or Dateline or Primetime Live about, you know, people and wasting food and how much food we waste. So I was kind of I was like, oh my gosh, if I take it, I should eat it because, you know, so I would take things and there was so many desserts. By the end of that meal, we're sitting there and I couldn't stand up. I was like, my stomach was like, oh my God, oh my God. And it was the first time I ever overate. So I didn't know what was going on. I was probably
You're dying.
I was like 8 or 9. And I stood up and I put my hand over my mouth.
Uh-oh.
And it started coming. And
oh no.
My hand did not stop. It was like it was like a faucet where you don't have like a hose where you don't have it on quite tight enough and it just starts spewing out in other directions. So I'm literally running down past the buffet, down the hall, to the bathroom, and it's squirting out of my hand. I'm like a fucking fountain of throw up running down the hall, and I get to the bathroom, and then I get to the sink, and I, everywhere. Oh. And it's like, it's a tiny bathroom too, so it's like everywhere. And my dad was so mad at me and so embarrassed. There was no like, oh, Tony, let's not do that. I'm sorry. You know, it's like, why did you do that? No.
Oh, my God.
Yep. Happy Father's Day, Dad.
But haven't we all been there, you know, in some fashion?
Yeah, I hope so. I hope it's not just me.
God.
Yeah. Here's another fun one for us to talk about today. A California couple accused of abusing a one-year-old son and leaving body in the car. I don't know what the fuck you have to, what's wrong with you that, what's wrong with so many of these young parents where this just seems to be such a common thing other than it's like narcissism run wild where it's 100% about them. And yeah, I created this human, but there's no, people don't have that connection, it seems. There's a lot of people who don't have that connection anymore to their child, whether it be paternal or maternal instinct. I think it's being bred out of some people. I
would agree with that.
I really do. Because I'm guessing these people probably come from homes that are similar where there's no love shown. And then I think eventually you get to the point where, yeah, guess what? People don't have it in this line or this lineage because, and I'm not saying it's not a race thing. It's just like, whatever groups of people tend to fuck up their families over time, and then it's everywhere. On Monday, April 25th, 2022, at approximately 11 p.m., the Pomona Police Department notified the Barstow Police Department of a suspicious death that occurred within the city of Barstow. Officers and the Pomona Police Department responded to the Pomona Valley Hospital to investigate a suspicious death of a one-year-old male child. The child arrived at the hospital unresponsive and was pronounced deceased by medical personnel upon arrival. Pomona police detectives observed that the child victim sustained injuries consistent with ongoing abuse. The officers observed visible signs of trauma to the victim's body, such as lesions, bruises, and burn marks. Some of the injuries appeared to be in different stages of the healing process. Further investigations by the Pomona police detectives revealed that the abuse likely occurred in the child's home, where he lived with his parents in Barstow, California, and that the victim died of those injuries in Barstow prior to his parents driving to Pomona, California. The Pomona Police Department then notified the Barstow Police Department of the status of their investigation. The Barstow Police Department assigned homicide detectives and crime scene investigators to the investigation. Detectives and crime scene investigators responded to the child's home. Detective Matthew Helms and Detective Monty Franklin responded, where they interviewed witnesses and contacted the victim's parents, Ricardo Mendez, 27, a 27-year-old Barstow resident, and Anita Miller, 24-year-old Barstow resident. During the investigation, detectives learned that on April 25th, 2022, at approximately 7 p.m., Ricardo Mendez and Anita Miller arrived unexpectedly at Mendez family's home located in the city of Pomona. Family members located the victim's lifeless body in the back of Ricardo Mendez and Anita Miller's vehicle. Some of Mendez's family members immediately drove the victim to the Pomona Valley Hospital for treatment. Ricardo Mendez and Anita Miller stayed at the family home and did not initially go to the hospital.
Oh, my God.
So your family shows up. They find your kid dead in the back of your truck. And you're like, hang on. I got to finish watching. I'm binging Netflix right now. I got to finish this this series on horrible people. Anita Miller eventually arrived at the hospital where officers detained her. Ricardo Mendez left the family house and was located and detained. Barstow police served search warrants at the residence. Ricardo Mendez and Anita Miller on their vehicle. During the service of the search warrants, the detectives located items of evidence believed to have been used during the assault of the victim.
If you don't want kids, and you have a kid, there are families out there that would happily take your kid and love it so beyond anything you could do.
Yeah.
I mean, there are families out there that want children that can't have them.
Mm-hmm.
Why in the hell don't you just surrender your child?
Yeah.
There's no excuse for this.
No. And now we're going to, you know, spend a bunch of money putting him through court and this and that. And they're just going to have responses. Well, grunting. And why? Again, this is where, you know, let's just get rid of them. Let's just off them. I don't think I would be a very good police officer because I would be the vigilante one where I'd see this shit. I'm like, fuck it. I'm just going to take care of this right now.
You know? I agree. I absolutely agree. I have no place in the judicial system because as much as I sit and bitch about, I want everything to be fair. If I see you do something that is, you know, like if I've seen your actions with my own two eyes, that's all I need. I'm judge and jury.
Yeah. If there's no doubt you're the one that did this, fucking done.
I'm all
done.
About a fair trial. You know, if we need to go through the motions and figure out if you did it, that I can do. But if I saw you do something, that's it.
Yeah. There's no reason to continue. No. A woman allegedly stabbed husband to death after arguing about, this is a valid one, I think, how coffee tasted.
Well, I've got coffee in front of me right now, baby.
You fuck up that coffee.
Yeah, don't do it. I'm telling you, do not fuck with my coffee.
I feel just as strongly about this as I do killing someone that killed their children. Yeah. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. A woman is behind bars after Memphis police say she stabbed her husband to death after the pair argued. The incident unfolded April 24th when police responded to an armed party call at 832 Wernwood. Officers found a man who had been stabbed multiple times, according to the affidavit. He was rushed to Regional 1 in critical condition. Police said the man told him his wife had gotten into an argument over the taste of his coffee. He said his wife had gone to the laundry room and attempted to drink bleach, the affidavit said. I guess at this point, when he attempted to stop her from hurting herself, she grabbed a knife from the kitchen and began stabbing him multiple times. The man then was pronounced dead before 4 p.m. Police arrested the man's wife, identified as Sheila Downey, when she returned to the scene of the crime. She told officers she and her husband had argued, and she drove around and came back, police said. She was taken to a hospital for cuts in her hand before being transported to jail east. Downey is charged with first-degree murder.
Wow.
Well, I guess leave some extra sheets in that cell tonight and see what happens.
Okay, yeah, there's a lot going on here.
Yeah.
Obviously. But
mental illness
tastes like
mental. I mean, it's not like, yes, this is what she said or he said spurred the argument. But clearly there's far more behind it than coffee, you know?
Right. But I want to, what kind of coffee was it? I kind of want to know. I'm a little curious. Like fucking, what
it was saying,
you know, obviously there, like you said, there's a lot going on, but I want to know what was so bad about the coffee that that sparked this entire thing.
It was Sanka. That's the problem.
Does like, anybody drink that?
Like, for the love of God, there's all these instant coffees now that actually taste like coffee. Why the fuck did you buy Sanka? I'm going to go drink bleach. No, you're not. End of story. That's how it went.
Yep. I believe you. I believe you. That. Yep.
Do they even sell Sanka? Is that even a thing anymore?
Let me look that up. That I will look up happily. Folgers is trying to revamp their whole thing now.
Instant, the Folgers crystals.
Yeah. Sanka, it appears to still be out there. My God. Yeah, you can buy it on Amazon.
Sanka, the official coffee.
Naturally decaffeinated.
Really?
Yeah. Why?
I always thought when I think of Sanka, I think of funeral homes. Because it's like always at a funeral home. Like, can you want a cup of coffee? Sure. You go in there and it's like, it's fucking Sanka. Like, you would think with the amount of people that go into a funeral home, they could invest in like a coffee machine or something. But it's always just like, it's a jar of Sanka that looks like it's from 1988 too.
It is. And it's, you know, I don't know if this has always been the case, but Maxwell House owns it. I bet they bought them.
And you'd almost, why wouldn't you just rebrand it as a Maxwell House Instant? Why stick with Sanka? It has such a, and I can guarantee there's like half of our audience that has no clue what the fuck Sanka even is.
I guarantee it, but they should look it up. It's, you know, for those of us who are a little bit on the older side, we grew up with that shit. Our grandparents had it.
Folgers Crystals was the other, well, that was like the competitor, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Instant coffee. But the thing that made it cool, because this was like, relegated to funeral homes for the most part, and I don't know wherever else it would be. But then Starbucks started coming out with the instant in those little packets.
And I have some in the kitchen.
Look, little packets of coffee, and it's actually good.
Yeah, it's not bad. I think they've come a long way. But back in the day of Sanka, it was disgusting.
Yeah,
but you did it because you were so addicted back in the 70s to coffee. That if you didn't have anything, that was better than nothing.
Folgers Classic Roast. How is this? What exactly is it made out of? Is it brewed coffee that's freeze dried?
God, that's a really good question. I don't know.
What is instant coffee made of? Instant coffee is a type of coffee from freeze-dried coffee extract. Similar to how regular coffee is brewed, the extract is made by pouring ground coffee beans, although it's more concentrated. So I wonder if I freeze-dried coffee, if I can make my own instant coffee. I have a freeze dryer. I should try that.
You should try it and see what happens.
I bet it would make the house smell lovely. Very interesting. One more for today, the Josh Duggar trial. I don't think we've talked much about Duggar since you've been on the show, have we?
We haven't.
And this is hitting home for me because they live here. We have talked about this on the show multiple times with Carol, but the Duggars are right here in Northwest Arkansas. I've seen them in the stores and such. And
are you serious?
Yes. And when Duggar was homebound or he was like on the ankle bracelet or something, I looked up the arrest record because he's like, he's going to go stay with family friends, right now. And the fucking place where he was staying right behind a fucking Chuck E. Cheese.
No, shut up.
Not kidding. I looked it up. I'm like, oh my God, that's behind the Chuck E. Cheese.
That's horrible.
I know. Luckily there's a fence there, but like, I guess, you know, feeling frisky, he could jump the fence and
What's to stop him from sitting out in the backyard?
Anna Duggar made a rare public appearance for a time after Josh Duggar was found guilty on two counts of receiving and possessing child pornography. The spotlight was shot on his life inside prison. Behaviors that included a myriad of phone calls to his wife, Anna Duggar, who remained by his side throughout the trial and after. As Josh awaits sentencing next month, though Anna Duggar has started making some changes on her own. First and foremost, Anna has potentially been working to secure her own and her seven children's futures. According to reports, Anna has been creating LLCs in recent months, as well as selling the home that she and Josh Duggar had planned to renovate before his arrest. Users on Reddit found the evidence of the new LLC being created, also speculating that Duggar may be trying to get joint assets put into her own name in order to protect those assets. Though that's just speculation, Josh Duggar could be facing fines of up to $250,000 on each aforementioned count, leaving questions about where that money would come from. One thing that has been confirmed is that at some point before Duggar's arrest in April 2021, the house was put in the market and later sold for under asking. In the time since, it has been reported that Anna and the kids are staying in a warehouse that's been renovated for family use on Jim, Bob, and Michelle's property. It's unclear if that will remain permanent residence for the large family. Secondly, in recent months, Anna Duggar has started being seen more out at events. Fans have speculated that she attended the wedding of Jeremiah Duggar and Anna Wissem last month. This was based off a leaked photo on Reddit. However, regardless of whether or not the report was accurate, Anna Duggar was confirmed to be at with her girlfriend Gabrielle Patron's vow renewal ceremony the past week. It was confirmed via a Instagram story. Other Duggar family members, including Michelle, were also confirmed to attend the event, though she previously appeared on Counting On and other Duggar family projects, as well as posting regularly on social media. The reality star has been keeping a low profile since her husband's arrest and subsequent trial. Anna Duggar posted about the birth of her child late last year. Then in February, she posted a cryptic message which linked to a PDF of a motion of Josh's legal team had filed, hoping for an acquittal. Meanwhile, Josh Duggar's sentencing was expected to come down in April. However, his legal team actually filed several motions related to the case. Ultimately, after Duggar's team asked for a continuance, the sentencing date was shifted to May. So,
wow. I still can't believe that you're near them.
Yeah. Yeah. They're right in the back out here. So it's,
does that scare you?
No, I mean, they're just creepy. There's creepy people everywhere. I mean, the only reason this gets so much attention is because they had a reality show. There's fuckers like this in every town.
Yuck. I just don't know. I don't even know what to say about that. And tell me more about the LLCs. What's going on there?
It looks like a way to protect money is my guess, because there's going to be fines levied against him with the sentencing. And I think she's trying to, you know, put it in her name and get it over to her so it can't be looked at as, you know, collateral that can be claimed by the state.
Okay.
Now, I don't know how I feel about that, though, because, you know, he did this shit and, yeah, you were both on that show but he did that shit and, yeah, you got a family to support. I get it, but you didn't. I'd be much more forgiving of it, I think, if she came out and said, yeah, this is not okay. This is fucked up, and I'm disowning him. And then I get it. You got to protect your family, and that's what you're doing. But you were not protecting your family. You let him continue to visit the fucking kids. You kept standing by his side, even though this is clearly a pattern of behavior with him. So no, I don't have a lot of pity anymore for this. Where it's like, protect this. Like, fuck that. Like, I don't even. I don't know. I the family, in my opinion, is fairly fucked in the head, and I don't really see a way where she should be able to hide that. I hope that the state gets their money and there is strict, you know, consequences for these actions.
I agree with you 100%. Agree.
No, just the behavior, what you choose, you know, should reflect what happens. And they're trying to create legal loopholes of where the money's going. And I get it, but at the same time, yeah. If I were in that situation, would I do the same thing? Probably. I probably would. I think anybody in their right mind probably would. If there is a clear way that you can legally protect your assets from being seized by the government, right or wrong of what the person did, and she's not the one who did it, but she did support and back it up, or backed him up. You know, I think anybody would try and protect their assets, but At the same point, I hope the state finds a way of still getting what they deem is right for his actions.
Ugh. Just if the whole thing is just gross.
The best thing is just he's locked up for the remainder of his children's childhood, and that she finds somebody else who is a good influence, and they don't have to have that sick fuck as a father figure or as a anyone to look up to. I think that's really
they'll still have to have him somewhere in their lives, but
yeah,
but hopefully very limited.
But by the time when they're old enough to make that decision, hopefully they can make a good decision on that. And it's not like, well, he made some bad choices. Like, no, he's a
creep.
He's a creep. He serially has done these sort of things over and over. It's been proven in court. He's been cheating on your mom. He's was on Ashley Madison, this and that. And then he goes around and touts his religion and how pure and wonderful everything is. And it's the biggest fucking hypocrite in the world. I think the whole family is. And luckily, Jim Bob, you know, lost. He was running for during this whole fucking thing. He was running for like state Senate. There was a big billboard up on the highway, like Jim Bob for Senate or whatever the fuck it was. And then the wife lovingly looking at him. It's like, this is really tone deaf to what's going on with your family right now.
Was his name really Jim Bob?
Yes.
Shut up.
Yes.
That's not a joke.
Not a joke.
I'm sorry.
I know. I know.
I'm so sorry. It shouldn't be funny, but it is.
I know.
Oh, God. I don't even know what to say to that, Tony.
Either do I. It's insanity. So there you go. All right.
I got nothing.
That's going to wrap up today's episode of The Dark Side of... Thank you guys for listening. If you like the show, be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of our episodes. New ones every single Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. Until next time, for Stacey and all of us at Dark Side of, Tony Bruschi, thanks for listening.